A very good morning to you, Namibia. A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Welcome to Eagle FM. It's a beautiful Saturday on this part of the world. And how is your Saturday morning? I hope it's a really, 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 you know, beautiful. And we recover a little bit. I think some part of the some part of wherever you are, it's you recovering from that cold that was sweeping Namibia those days. So yeah, it's quite a good but here in Ondangwa, you know, once it's reached already, when it's about already 9 already about 10, 11, you know, it starts heating up already. So I prefer that kind of cold. So welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station, and thanks for making us your choice this morning. And we love to be in your company. And this is Mind Matter. So this is a program where we focus on psychological patterns and social issues or social factors that affect how you feel, how you think, and how you make choices in life. We go into details looking at how these are processed in your mind and how then you make decisions when it comes to the choices and the actions and the behaviors that you choose, or things that you choose in lives. So, well, we call this time a mental health hour. So where you're most welcome to come through as well. And if you have any issues that you want to discuss, that related to mental conditions, or that related to wellness, just basically wellness, and could be mental wellness, could be emotional wellness, it could be also physical wellness as well, could be also financial wellness, as long as it has to do with wellness. So you're most welcome to come through and be able to discuss this, all right? And even if we're dealing with another topic, and if this is something that is it could be some emergency that you are going through and you want to discuss that, so you're most welcome to come through, and we can take a few minutes. And I always said, if it's something that I cannot be able to discuss with you, or that we cannot be able to talk out how to find solution about it, so we can always look for somebody to do that. All right. So yeah, make sure that you do that. And in the course of the programs, we go until the hour of 1 o'clock. So we still have plenty of time. But as usual, is actually as packed as usual. And, our topic today that we're going to discuss is actually, you know, are you still holding on yesterday's pain? Okay. That's what we're looking at. Are you still holding on yesterday's pain? So are you still holding on those hurtful emotions? Are you still holding on those traumatic events that happened in the past? Are you still holding on those habits? Are you still holding on those perspectives? Fear of the unknown. Are you still holding on those toxic people? Are you still holding on those control, or even sometimes on material things that keep you stuck? You know, life often feels like it's a juggling act between holding on to something and letting go. That's, we always, you know, what is that juggling? It's a juggling act between those two, holding on to something and letting go. That's normally what life feels like. So we hold on to things because they feel safe, they feel familiar, and, or maybe because they're important to us. Okay? But not everything we cling on to is good for us. You know, some things like maybe old feelings, it could be some old feelings that we hold on to, some unhelpful thought, you know, this can make life harder, instead of actually better. And we're going to look at some of the things that I talked about, some hurtful emotions, some traumatic event. You know, what do we hold? We're holding those unhelpful thought about those events. Or we have these hurtful emotions that are coming from those, you know, things that happened in the past. As I said, sometimes those make life harder instead of better. So the emotional attachment, like holding on to anger, you know, staying in a bad relationship maybe, or being afraid to try new things, you know, those things can actually keep us stuck in the past. And even mentally, we might be holding on to negative thoughts or ideas about ourselves that stop us from growing, you know. So you keep holding on those ideas, on those negative thoughts and ideas, and they stop you from growing and enjoying life. So it could even be physical things, like keeping too much things, unnecessary things, being cluttered, you know, can make us feel, you know, it can make us feel way down and stressed. So the first step to feeling better is to look at what are we holding on to? Okay. Is to look at what is holding us, or what is we holding on to, and ask, is this helping me? This is a question. Ask yourself always this kind of question. Is this helping me, or is it holding me back? So whatever that is, so letting go of what it doesn't help us anymore, create that space for new opportunities and even a fresh start. Even it's a fresh start. So you may be stuck where you are just because you're afraid to move on, because you're holding on to that, whatever it is. So it is not about giving up. It is about making life a little bit lighter, a little bit simpler, a little more enjoyful, you know, more joyful. So today what we're going to do, we're going to explore eight common things we hold on to, and why it's so hard. So why is it so hard to let go, and how do we then create a space for growth and also for healing, for a better life for ourselves. So yeah, that's what we're going to look at. And before we get into that, let's have a quick musical break, and then we get into what we prepare for today. So let's go slowly today, or maybe let's go more, you know, regal rhythm kind of. Okay, so coming up, Etana, love song.
Thank you.
love song, a love song, beautiful song by Etana. You know, those songs that just keep you in the vibe. It just actually put me in that vibe. And you, well, if you see me in the studio, if you were here, I was just, you know, up and down, you know, jumping in a, you know, that, what, the reggae kind of vibe, eh? Yeah, so, welcome to Eagle FM, and welcome to Mind Matters. As I said, this is a program where we focus on psychological patterns and social issues, social matters, social factors that affect how we think, how we feel, and how we make choices in life. And today we're exploring 8 common things we hold on to. You know, 8 common things that we hold on to. And the first one we're looking at is your hateful emotions. You know, your hateful emotion. Why do you hold on to this hateful emotion? Okay? So, why do you hold on these hateful emotions? Eh? So that's the question. Why do we hold on to this hateful emotion? Sometimes we don't even think that we're holding on to that. All right? So, we all carry around emotion like anger, resentment, or sadness long after the moment has passed. You know, the moment has passed, but we're still actually holding on to that. So we carry that emotion. Now, almost as if we are wearing, you know, it's like we are wearing them like an old, I'm kind of like giving you that something that's really heavy. You know, like an old heavy coat. Eh? We're wearing that like a heavy coat. And why do we do this? Now, often it is because, now I want you to listen to me. It is because our mind build an emotional or intellectual attachment, you know, to past event. So we hold that emotional or intellectual attachment to past event and replaying it over and over. So we actually never let it go. Now, let me give you an idea. Think of this. Think someone whose best friend betrayed their trust. Okay. Every time they remember that, they every straight text or whatever, they send some text to each other or familiar face they see or something, it triggers a rush of anger and pain, you know? Every time you remember that, it triggers that anger and pain. It doesn't matter whether it's 5 years later or 10 years later. So you remember that, where I said we build an emotional attachment or intellectual attachment. I will explain why, either emotional or intellectual. So we rationalize, why do we feel this? We rationalize, we have a reason to feel that way because these people have done this to us. And we hold on to that intellectual attachment. All right? So in that head, settle into our daily life. This has now become a problem. So whenever you meet this person, what happened to you? It changes you. Either it changes you emotionally, you start to still feel angry about that person. You see them on TV, you start cursing, you know, whatever. It enters now. It settles now into your daily life. So you could be also, the other thing, how it settled into your life, it could be that you snap to other friends. You kind of like, you may actually snap to other friends because of you kind of see them as the same as the other one. You understand? So, and you find it hard to relax. You find it hard to relax. You even struggle to trust new people. Yeah? You see how that now really settles into your daily life. And over time, this constant replay can steal your happiness away. So making a genuine inner peace feel impossible. So I want you to pay attention to that. So sometimes, and we don't think about that. You understand? So now, let me go on a little bit in science. Okay, science shows, and I'm saying science, I'm talking about now psychology, you know, the field of psychology, shows that holding on to these negative emotion is not just about, it's not just uncomfortable. It's not just uncomfortable, not uncomfortable, but it's not just uncomfortable. It actually takes a toll. It takes a toll on your mind. It takes a toll on your body. Now, people who harbor anger or say, for example, resentment and, anger and resentment, they report higher level of stress. Most people that are stressed are those who harbor, who actually, you know, hold anger, hold resentment. They are the one who actually report a higher level of stress, a higher level of anxiety. And even physical symptom like headache, you constantly have a headache or muscle tension. So there's a study that the report have indicated that most of people that actually show higher level of stress are people who harbor that kind of emotion in them. So in contrast, when you're practicing forgiveness, for example, and despite what it sounds like, okay, what I mean is that it doesn't mean that when you forgive, because some people think that you are excusing what happened. You're not excusing what happened. It means releasing the grip. You know the grip? You know? It's releasing the grip that anger or sadness has on you. So you're releasing that within yourself. So now you're releasing that grip, that anger or that sadness has on you. That's what forgiveness is all about. It's not about that you're condoning or excusing what happened or what the other person did. So because you can forgive without even go to the other person and say, I've forgiven you, you can actually forgive without even saying that to the other person. So now, the observational studies or randomized trial suggest that forgiveness is linked to like I was saying earlier on, that people that harbor this anger and resentment, you know, have a higher level of stress. Now, this is the opposite of when you forgive. So it's actually linked to a lower level of depression and anxiety. As well, most people that have a great life satisfaction and improved physical health actually are the people that actually have people who forgives. All right. This is how it happened. Okay. Now, as I said, this is where we go deeper into your mind. When you forgives, you see the difference is here in your mind. Remember that when you forgive, you tell your mind that give up, because when you don't forgive, you still see that as a threat. Your mind see that as a threat. So what does it do? It's always looking to manifest ways that still show anger, still show resentment. So you go on still looking ways how to behave towards that person, how you can behave hostile towards that person. Because your body is actually trying to protect you. So because they see that as danger. You know, because you still hold grudges, you still hold those resentments. To the body, to the mind, you're actually at war. So you either have to run away or you have to fight. That's the command you actually give to your mind. But when you forgive, you tell your mind that, okay, it is okay. So it give up. It's not now it's not looking for solution anymore. Your mind is not looking for solution anymore. So it kind of make you relax. That's how it lower your level of depression. That's how it lower your level of anxiety. You know, even when you meet the person, your heart, it doesn't go up anymore. So you could even crack a joke when you meet him or meet her. You know, you're not bothered. So that it all works in your mind. It all works in your mind. And that's how now study have shown that, you know, people with great life satisfactions and improved physical health are people who have the ability to forgive. Okay? Now, let me give you an example. Maria had a grudge, you know, held a grudge against a colleague who took... Now, the colleague actually took credit for her work. You know, each morning before now she even walked into the office, fear actually got to her. So she found herself avoiding team meetings and grew that resentful towards everyone. You know, because she feel as if she hasn't been acknowledged. You know, her stress level went up and her performance suffered. You know, her performance then gets suffered. So now, let me just help you here, because we're talking hurtful emotions here now. So how do you let it go? Okay, let's focus on this one first. How do you let it go, those emotional or hurtful emotions? One, the most important things, and this is what we don't do, acknowledge the hurt. Say it loud. Say it loud. I am angry about this. What is that? I'm angry about that. Do you know why you're saying that? By acknowledging. So, and research have shown that simply by naming our emotions, that can help regulate our nervous system, your nervous system, and calm a little bit the storm inside, you know? So, because now your body understands that you know what is going on. When you are confused, your body actually, it kind of like, you said it, you actually awaken the alert to, you know, to be, okay, be on your alert now, okay? We're not fine. So, but when you acknowledge, I'm angry about this, it actually reduces the intensity of what you feel. So that's the first thing, acknowledge the hurt. Because what it means is that you cannot change when you don't acknowledge what is the problem. How do you change something that you don't know or that you don't accept or acknowledge as a problem? So that's the first thing. The first thing to change that is to acknowledge. Acknowledge that hurt. Yes, I'm hurt. You know, that's also tell your mind that I am actually fine that this happened. What you train your mind is that, okay, relax. I know that. Okay? I know I'm hurt. You see? That actually reduces the intensity of that emotion. So that's the first thing, acknowledgement. You know? So then understand its message. So what is the message? Understand its message. Okay, ask yourself this. What was I needing? Remember now, you are probably 3 years later or a month later or whatever, a week later. So what was I needing in that moment? Because the reasons why that anger rises, that anger came about, is because there was something that didn't go right, okay? Often anger is a signal. It's a signal that our boundaries were crossed, or there's a need that left unmet. Normally, that it's a signal. Anger, when we focus on anger itself, anger is just a signal that something, maybe our beliefs in something has been, you know, contradicted, or a boundary that has been crossed, or there's a need that left unmet. Whatever the case may be, that's why you get angry. Anger is just an emotional, comes as a consequence. It's a signal. And most of the time we focus more on anger rather than on the as a message. So anger is a message, not an end in itself. So what you need to ask yourself now, understand its message. What is the message of this anger? I hope you're following what I'm trying to say. So understand your message, the message of your anger. Why are you angry? What was I needing, especially in that moment? What was I needing that causes that anger? So because the reason why you're asking that, you kept carrying this anger, but it was probably just needed. It was just a signal in that moment. It could have been just a signal in that moment, and it's no longer important. But you have kept it for, but you have carried it. you have carried it and relive it over and over. But what was maybe at that moment, it was a message that needing some, what was I needing in that moment? Is that the right question? I'm not sure if I'm asked. What was I needing? Yeah, it's English. So and then when you realize that, now you started to realize, yes, I was angry because, you know, I felt disrespected. I thought he was actually my friend, and he shouldn't actually, you know, he shouldn't actually said what he said because it hurt me. So you understand? So you understand why you were angry. All right? In that moment. You understand why that you were angry in that moment. And now you have been carrying all this, you know, and has, as I said, is settled into your daily life. Now, whenever you see this person, you are angry, still, you understand? Eh? But it doesn't help you. You know what they say about anger? It's like, you know, you have this poison you want to give to somebody, eh? To die, or whatever the case may be. Let's put it that. You have this poison that you want to give to somebody, but you drink it instead. So the anger you have for the other person, wherever this person is actually enjoying themselves. They may be forgotten even that event. They don't even think about it. But you're still here, fuming, and whenever you see them, and it's eating you up inside. This is the poison you wanted to give it to them, but instead, you are the one who is actually, you know, suffering from that. You are the one suffering from the poison that you want to give to the other person. So now, the third thing, then choose forgiveness. All right? Now, this is not about forgetting, or as I said earlier, this is not about forgetting or excusing the behavior. That's not what I'm all about. It's about deciding, and listen to me, it's about deciding not to let that emotion run your life. Are you following? So it's about deciding that I'm not going to let this emotion, because it's within you, I'm not going to let this emotion run my life. It doesn't mean I'm actually condoning what the other person said. It's just that I'm not going to let that, what has it done, cause, because you're 100% in control of how you react, either in terms of emotion or in terms of behavior. You're 100% in control. The emotion, the anger you feel, it's because you chose to feel that. And if you continue to, because you're choosing to. And if it's ruining you, you are choosing to ruin your life by continuing to feel that way. You may go to the person and say, well, I forgive you. Not because you deserve it, but because I deserve peace. Because I deserve peace. It's not because the other person deserves it. And the fourth thing then is what you need to do. Now, we're talking about hurtful emotions. And the fourth thing that you need to do is let it go. You remember I was talking about that heavy coat, you know? Imagine that heavy coat I talked about, placing that heavy coat on a chair and walking out of the room without it. You left it there. So if painful memories return, okay? If you still have, if the painful memories still retain, this, as we're talking about, generally, I want you to repeat those steps that we're talking. Acknowledge the hurt, understand its message. What is this message? What does it tell you? Because it's a signal. And choose forgiveness. Now, the forgiveness is for you. Now, choose that. I'm not going to let this emotion run my life. Okay? I'm not going to let this emotion run my life. And then, let it go. Let it go. All right? So by practicing this simple four steps approach, okay? So you begin to free up space in your mind. You begin then to free up space in your mind that was now dedicated to anger. You see, you use it because that's the, when you still angry, you still actually use energy. Imagine how much energy you use just by being angry, eh? And sad. It's energy. Every time when we wake up, we have 100% energy. And depending now where you channel that energy, imagine maybe you spend 2 hours or 3 hours just being angry because of this person. And then what does it do? It now dictates what you do in your life. You may not even decide to do anything just because this emotion in you. You see how that actually, you know, taken up so much space in your mind that you could be actually use it to maybe come up with ideas of a business, that would help you in the situation that you are. But you spend that time, that energy in just thinking about, you know, that head. So that would help now making a room for more positive emotions and a genuine connections. So next time, all right, this is now, next time you feel resentment, if you feel a resentment bubbling up, okay, pause and ask yourself, what is this anger trying to tell me? Make that a habit. Don't just get angry and get, you know, foamed, okay, you know. No. Pause and ask, what is this anger trying to tell me? And what would it feel like to release it? What it feel like to release it? So even a small breath, I'm talking that small, that just that breath, that breath of relief in that moment, it's a progress toward inner peace already. Think about it. So we're going to back. So no, let's not go. Let's get to the other stuff. So we're looking at the common things, okay? We're looking at 8 common things we hold on to. So we're looking at the hurt emotion. I hope we went into a little bit deeper into that, give some example, and also I give you some approach, you know, to let that go. All right. So let's get to the traumatic events. All right. The traumatic events, like serious, could be a serious accident, a death, assault. So things that have, could be a rape, sexual harassment, whatever the case may be. It could be a natural disaster as well. So these are not just bad memories. I want you to understand that when they carry on, these are not just bad memories. They are cut. Do you know what's a cut? These are cuts. They can cut a really deep scars in our minds and in our bodies. All right? That's why we remember them. That's why we don't let them go. They cut those deep. They're not just memories. They cut deep scars in our minds and in our bodies. And just as a scar, you can have a scar on your body, you can also have a scars in your mind. And causing us, and this now causing us to relive the pain, you know, that scars. Every time we look at that scars, especially in our mind, and even on your body, when you have a certain scar, you remember, I have the scars because of, you still remember. And you, the kind of, once you remember, as I said, it's not just a bad memories. So we relive those pain over and over and over. And if we don't let go, we relive this pain for the rest of our life. So when trauma is not addressed, okay? When trauma is not addressed, it can keep you unanchored. It can keep you anchored. And I use the word anchored deliberately. It can keep you anchored. You start to stand on, you know? You start to stand on. Onto them, you start to stand on to the past in a way that affect your day-to-day life. So you are anchored to the past in a way that affect your day-to-day life. It's kind of like, you know that your past is your, it's more like your reference. Everything that you do, any choice that you make, where do you go? You go to your past. You don't do this consciously. But it does, sometimes it does in a less than a second. Your body you know, certain things that have become automatic, like your eyes. When your eyes blipping, is it blipping? No. Flickling. You flick. No. What is that? Geto pafima kupafmana mosingri soske. All right. So when you are perfumering, okay. So when is it flip? I know it's not flicking. It's not flicking. It's not flipping. Okay, I don't know what the word is. I forget the words. You know, you know that you have been doing this since you were small. Now it becomes automatic. You don't think about it anymore. It does it by its own. You don't even think about it. You understand? It becomes automatic. So now there are those now, the trauma in your life can become automatic. They can anchor. They can anchor your way, you know, they can anchor your day-to-day choices or can affect your day-to-day life and choices that you make without you thinking about them anymore. Now, let's take an example. If you were hurt, let's say, for example, if you were hurt, if you were hurt by a short man, okay? If you were hurt by a short man, for example, really, you know, a short person have really hurt you in a relationship, you know, have been abusive, whatever the case may be. Now, that might become an anchor. You know, that trauma by a short man can become...
The wait is over. The deals are here. It's Big Red Weekend. For 4 days only, ShopRite brings you massive savings of up to 50% off. Like a 900 grams Pacoma Wheat Fix whole grain wheat biscuits, only 45 Namibian dollars. 500 grams Rama Original 70% fat spread, just 25 Namibian dollars each. 4 kg Real Good IQF mixed chicken portions, only 175 Namibian dollars. 2 liter Coca-Cola Original Taste less sugar soft drinks, just 16 Namibian dollars each. Don't miss out. This weekend only, get up to 50% off. Valid until 16 June 2025. Only at ShopRite.
All right, let's go to the short man. Well, welcome back. So let's get to the short man, okay? So if you were hurt by this short man, you know, that can become the short man have, you know, traumatize your life. So for example, okay. Let's make it more dramatic. So let's say, for example, you were raped. And God forbid that happened. It's happened regularly in our country anyway. So let's say, for example, you're raped by a short man, you know, and let's say, for example, that trauma hasn't been addressed. So it can, you know, it can become an anchor. So that trauma can become an anchor in the way that affect your day-to-day choices, a day-to-day life. So that means now, whenever you see a short man, you have, there's certain some kind of emotion that that you, it brings out maybe that kind of experience that you went through. So you understand. Or let's say, for example, the person who raped you was wearing a certain cologne. Now, every time, you know, remember that when you were struggling now, when you were fighting, you know, there was this smell, you know, this cologne smell. You know, and every time that you smell that, every time you pass through and then you come across to that smell, what does your mind do? It immediately brings out, it's actually trying to protect you. It's once that comes, it reminded you, this is what you went through. You know, be careful, okay? Be careful. You see, your mind, it doesn't know whether you are still in danger or not. You understand? It just bring out that this was danger, yo. So, and where do we get this? Is coming from our evolving as human, as from our evolving of our ancestors. So this is a way we protect ourselves. Okay, we survive. All right. So you have to be, you know, that can become now. When it's not addressed, it can really, really, really affect your day-to-day life. So that's what I want you to understand. So now take an example of someone who I can also take someone who actually survived. Let's make it more lighter. A car crash. Okay. I know someone. That's why I'm making this example. Now, every time they see a car similar, to the one involved in the accident, their heart races. You know, they started to still have that, that races, that their heart races, their palms get sweat. You know, they are, you see, they are terrified. You know, they are swept back into, in those terrifying moments. So now to avoid that flood of fear, they might even dodge. This person, it doesn't even go to the area, to that certain road. Even sometime at a certain point before we started actually talking, he even avoided driving entirely. So yet, you know, at that time, the trauma remains unresolved. So, and lacking just beneath the surface all the time. And anything that, you know, the person start to panic and all these kind of things. So now, the research have shown, okay, the research have shown that unresolved trauma is actually strongly linked to long-term issues. And normally, if it's not resolved, you know, if that trauma, whatever trauma you went through, if it's not resolved, it's linked to some long-term issues like anxiety, like depression, you know, and what is normally known as PTSD, the PTSD, the post-traumatic stress disorder. So this person may have, you know, those flashbacks and nightmares, and these are not just bad dreams. They are not just bad dreams. They are your brain. This is your brain's alarm system. It's your brain alarm system stuck in on that mode. Okay, reliving the threat as if it's happening now. You understand? So it is very important. And sometimes people, what do? We avoid this. We're trying to suppress this. Well, avoidance might bring short-term relief. You know, when you're avoiding it, when you're suppressing it, it may actually bring a short-term relief, but actually it also strengthens the hold of a trauma. The hold of that, you strengthen actually the hold of the trauma. So making it normal, you know, making it a normal life feel risky and unsafe. So because you haven't dealt with it. So over time, this chronic stress can even lead to physical health problems. It can also lead to physical health problem. You will have some headaches all the times, you know, those kind of, the word also ran out of my head. So you will, you know, and also stomach issues. You will also have stomach issues that weaken your immune system as well. So this lead, you have to think of certain things that you're going through as an individual, whether physical problems, it could be coming from sometimes these long-term issues because of unresolved trauma. Now, solutions. So you don't have to face trauma alone, okay? You don't have to face trauma alone. Find somebody, especially trauma-focused approach, like there are some of us are behavioral therapy. We do cognitive behavior therapy that looking at more gives you tools to gently process pain. You know, it gives you tools that you process your painful memories without really being overwhelmed. You know, you go through that process. You can also look for support group. Support group can also help. We're looking at the support group really, and it could be any support group, especially support group that's a problem sometimes in Namibia when we don't have a variety of group when it comes to mental health issues or just, you know, whether now is a marriage couple group that deal with certain issues within their circle, or whether it's youth, you know, dealing with unemployment issues, whether it's, you know, so we don't have much of that. But if you have a support system, and especially support group in that area that you're experiencing, it offers space to share your experiences with people who truly understand. So that word support group is very important because you have people who have gone through the same thing and share the same experience. And study find that group therapy not only reduces the PTSD, you know, the PTSD and symptoms, but also build a network of empathy. You have people who really understand of what you're going through and encouragement. And this would be now a stepping stone to becoming more, to grow and getting to your feet. And also breaking that isolation where you think that, oh, I'm the only one who actually going through this. And because the trauma normally make us feel that way. It often causes that, where you feel that this only happened to you. Okay? So, and a group like that, it helps you to understand that there are other people that that are going through the same thing. So what you need to do now, reach out. Call a counselor. Some of us are doing online counseling. So call out, really. Don't get stuck with this issue, okay, that prevents you from becoming free, okay, from really dealing with this issue and be able to help to move on. And I also like to tell people, I said, find your tribe. I'm not saying now go to your tribe. This, when I say find your tribe, it's not that look for support within that experience you're going through. There would be more like, they will be more understanding what you're going through than, you know, people who don't know what you're talking about. All right? Find your tribe. Okay? So if there is a center that provides that help, go to, you know, go and find out. Go and look for that support. If there are people who can be able to help you, so go to that. That's why I call them, that's your tribe. Okay? And share. And now, the other thing is this, you know, share at your pace. All right? So even listening, even if you just go to this, whatever group it is, or even if you're just listening, especially when there are support groups, just listen to others talking about their journey can start easing that, the weight you carry. It can just, when you're just listening to someone sharing down, that can also ease their, you know, what you're carrying. So please don't feel pushed. You know, take your time when you feel comfortable to do that. Because otherwise you may be pushed in something and then you feel uncomfortable, and then that can reignite, you know, that emotion again. So that, take time, share at your pace. That's all what I want to tell you. So now, if a past event still haunts you, if it haunts your everyday moment, really, and this is very serious, if it haunts your everyday moment, ask yourself, I want you to ask yourself this, what small step can I take to face this memory safely? What small step? Just, you don't need to do something big. It's just a small one step. What small step can I take to face this memory safely? Maybe talking it out. Maybe writing it down. It could be also that you need just to have a journal that you're writing it down. And it does help. That's, you're doing it safely. Or joining a support circle, that I'm saying. So joining a support circle. Each step forward, however small it is, reclaims a bit more freedom, you know, from that past. So it does that. It reclaims that freedom, a bit freedom from your past. So, yep, I hope that helps, and I hope that resonates with some of the things that you may have yourself experience, or maybe people that you know experience. So when we come back, we're going to look at, don't miss this, we're going to look at habits. Okay? Remember, we're looking at things that hold us back. So stay tuned. So we will be back. So let's have another musical break, and then at this time, we... Who is this one? You are my number one. Enrique Inglis? All right.
I've kissed the moon a million times, danced with angels in the sky. I've seen snowfall in the sky.
can't stop loving you.
Well, that's not Enrique. I want to play an Enrique band. I didn't feel the, you know, it didn't give me some kind of a vibe. So that was Bryan Adams. Please forgive me. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song indeed. You know, they are just songs that are so classic. You can play it, you know, even in 20, when do we have any, even if you play it in 2063, you know, that's Africa Agenda, Africa Agenda 2063. So even if you play that then, it's still one of those, you know, great music that you always, All right. Welcome back. I'll tell you our time now is about 5 minutes past 12. Why the time so flies when you're really, really, really having, was it fun? It wasn't fun when you are really into it. All right. So we continue looking at, so the next thing is we're talking about it's habit. All right. So we all have routines. We barely notice. Remember now, routines become something that we barely notice. You know, your morning coffee rituals, I'm mentioning coffee because it has become cold. And your morning coffee rituals, scrolling and even scrolling social media before maybe you go to bed. Even the way you tie, just the way you tie your shoes. So it could be all the same all the time for how many years now, you know, you have been doing this. So now I want you to understand this. Okay. I want you really to understand habit forms. Why habit form? Because our brain loves efficiency. Okay? Our brain loves efficiency by automating repeated actions. So it frees up now mental energy, if you like. So mental energy now for more important decisions. So your mind can't keep, you know, focus on these mundane, you know, activities, and you can't, otherwise you will never be able to do anything. That's why those repeated activity becomes, you know, second to you. It becomes something that you don't even think about anymore. So what does it do? You don't even think about it anymore. You actually just act. And now you leave your mind to think more of important decisions. But in some cases, well, it reduces our capacity of thinking. You know? So remember, you know, when I'm saying this is this, look, just think of this, okay? Think of this, yeah? So in many ways you become robotic. And I want you to think this very seriously and start maybe thinking otherwise. So much of you, much of us, me included, we become more robotic. All right. So think of, and I say this quite often when I tell people, think of this way. If you live in the house where you have left, let's say for you lived there for about how many times? 10 years. You lived there for about 10 or 20 years. Let's could even say 20 years. You are in the same room you have been living for 20 years. Okay. You woke up exactly the same way. You go to bed the same way. Everything's in the same place in the way. Maybe you add some new things in, new sheets, new whatever. Yes, but, you know, same thing. Exactly. Your same shower, your same distance you go to the shower. You know, every soap is where normally it has been for 20 years. You know, it's exactly the same. That will become a repeated action. The way you move from there. Let's say, for example, you have been in the same house and the same work you are doing for 20 years now, all right? So you follow the same road. You know, you go to work at the same time. 8 o'clock, you should be there. You follow the same road for 20 years. And you come back again. You come to the same house. Maybe that time you used to do it alone. Now you have some children in the home. The pattern have changed a little bit, but you get used to that. You understand? So nothing change mentally. Your emotion, remember this, and I want you to think seriously. your emotion is the same, is exactly the same, because the same environmental can only generate the same emotion. Are you following me? The same environment can only generate the same emotion. It can't generate something different. So the only thing, even the same person, if you are with the same person doing the same thing, if you become doing exactly the same thing, it just generates. And that's how, even when you're in a relationship, how do you get bored with each other? It's because it generates the same thing. It doesn't create any something the way you're now thinking. You understand? It generates the same person, the same people around you generate the same emotions. Unless someone come up with something completely different when he said, okay, today, guys, we're not going to eat lunch here. Let's go and have lunch somewhere in there. That's different. Now, your mind has started to create a new pathways that was never there. But when you are in the same environment, it doesn't need to create that any pathways. It's because you're just doing exactly the same. You're not thinking anymore. You could be that you go through your 20 years life using only 5% of your brain. 5%. Because at work, you get to know what you are doing. You're just doing the same thing all over. You understand? You're doing the same thing today and tomorrow. You don't think about it. You can woke up. Someone can woke up in the middle of the night and say, look, sit on your computer. You know exactly what you're going to do. You don't think. Maybe you just punch in numbers and whatever, and it's the same thing. You can do it with your eyes closed. You don't use your brain. So that's why they said you only use about less than 10% of your mind, because once you get into this habit, you don't use your mind. How do you want to use your mind? Read. Okay? Read. And that's what Namibians don't do. We don't read. Explore. Eh? That's how you create new pathways, new emotions. You can only new emotion when you get out of your comfort zone environment. When you get out of this environment and into environment, that's how you create new pathways in your brain, in your mind. So now the stepping away from habit. So now we come back here. So we're talking about habit now. You know, stepping away now from habit, even an unhelpful one. So even when you want now to step away from those habits, even an unhelpful one, they feel like, you feel like wandering into unknown. So you become so comfortable, even if unhelpful one. You could be actually, let's say for example, you are in a relationship that is toxic. You know what is coming. So there are people who actually go throughout their life tolerating this because they know what is coming. He's coming. He's going to beat me. And once he beat me, I think tomorrow he bring me something to say he's sorry. So you know what is coming. So you are comfortable knowing exactly what's going to happen. Remember, I said your mind loves efficiency. Okay? Your brain loves efficiency. It knows. It will be difficult when you don't know what's going to happen. So your brain resists that uncertainty. Okay? That's why you always feel, your brain resists something that is not familiar. So if you sit in the same office chair for a decade, for 10 years or more, the familiar routine feels safe. It feels safe. Breaking it, if you break it, by contrast, that can spark now anxiety and what if backfires, that kind of things. So that's very important. That's why you stuck habits. That's why you stuck in that habit. So now let me give you now. This is, I'm not going to say the right name, and I know somebody. Let's say Mitlaudika, Okay. Laudika, who has, she has been in the same banking job for 8 years. And this is a real person. All right. The work no longer excites her, but she stick around because she know the schedules. She know the people and the lunch spot, she knows that. But she stick around because, you know, as I said, because of those things. Every detail is predictable, you understand? So your mind like efficiency. So now, the minute she consider looking elsewhere, the minute she consider actually thinking, you know, because she's unhappy, and we're going to do this after.
The wait is over. The deals are here. It's Big Red Weekend. For 4 days only, ShopRite brings you massive savings of up to 50% off. Like 800 grams Nescafe Ricoffee Instant Coffee Refill. Only $99. 10 kg Top Score Super Maize Meal. Just $118. 8 Twin Saver 1 Ply Toilet Rolls. Only $45 per pack. 36, 42, 45, 50, 68 or 76 Pampers Disposable Nappies. Or 35, 40, 46 or 52 pants. $179 per pack. Don't miss out. This weekend only. Get up to 50% off. Valid until 16 June 2025. Only at ShopRite.
All right. So let's go. Let's continue. All right. So now, Laudika, you know, everything, every detail is predictable. And the minute she considered looking elsewhere, you know, she started to feel uncomfortable. Maybe the chest start to tighten. And you start physically, you start actually to feel uncomfortable. What if I hate the new role? What if I fail? You know, the what if coming now, flooding your mind, you know, the coming flooding your mind. What if this? No. So what happened? She stays. Eh? Your brain flooded you with this or what if, you know, what if? So that because the brain feel uncomfortable, you know, going into an unknown area. You know, in something, because that's why it start flooding you with all this. What if you fail? What if this, you know? So what happened? She stays. And week after week, feels stuck. So now, let me talk about the brain science now. You know, psychologists define a habit as a behavior that through consistent repetition in the same context, it should be in the same context, becomes automatic. So if you start smoking and you don't stop in less than a year or in two, you become a smoker, you know? And I said it becomes automatic and it triggered by a cue, you understand? It triggered by a signal. Or let me say, and how would I put this? Yeah, let me use the word cue. It's triggered by a cue rather than a conscious choice. So what is a cue? A cue is, you know, it's coming from singing. You know, before what they used to do, you know, before you start singing, they press what's wrong with me today? So they play a cue, it's a sound from the, not a keyboard, what is the whole piano, from the piano. So kind of like press a cue, that indicates that that's a cue to say you're going to start at that level. So the cue triggered the sound that you, from what level you will be then singing, you understand? Okay, the cue. So it's the same thing, your environment. All right. So when it becomes automatic, now, as I said, it triggered by this behavior, it triggered by a cue rather than by a conscious decision. It's not something that you choose anymore, but it's actually cued by your environment, by whatever. So if you come from work, what is the first thing that you do? So you don't think anymore. You don't kind of like, okay, what do I need to do? You don't come at home and think, okay, what is that I need to do now? No, once you come, you already have it. You already have a habit that you do. Maybe you go into your into your room, you take off the clothes, and then the first thing that you do is what? You go and do something. Whatever you do, it becomes, it's environment that determines how you behave, rather your conscious choice. So that's why I said you become robotic. Your environment determines how you behave. The people around you determine how you react and how you feel and all that. So, and there is a researcher, a research by Philippa Lally, and a colleague, quite a group of them, found that it takes an average of 66 days for a new behavior to feel automatic. For if you want a behavior to really feel automatic, it takes about 66 days. So, and with an average of, if we can put it in there, from 18 days to 254 days, so definitely that becomes now an automatic behavior. So in other words, your brain needs a repeated practice in a stable context, in a certain context, in a certain environment, to wire that new pathways. I was talking earlier pathways. So to wire that into as a pathway and be able now to retire the old one. So it should take you that's why when people actually want to lose weight, how much it takes you? It takes you years and years to build up what your weight. It doesn't just take you one, you know, and then, okay, I should be able to lose weight now. No, it takes years. It takes times, you know, and it takes mind also. So now, your brain needed now a practice, a repeated practice in a stable context, to be able to wire the new pathways and retire the old one. This has happened when you have to build a new good behavior or good habit, or when you have to get rid of a behavior. For example, smoking. If you want to stop smoking, you cannot just say, okay, stop smoking now. You understand? So you can't stop smoking. That's not how you would stop smoking. It takes time. So what it means, you repeat a behavior, and that's how we ask you to do. Maybe like if you come to me and I talk to you, I would actually, if you really, really, really like you are addicted. So what I would say is that, okay, how many cigarettes do you take per day? Okay, no, I take 10. All right. So today, from today, take 9. And then instead of taking the 10th one, when you have to take the 10th one, say, for example, do something that's very destructive, that it doesn't give you time to think to go and smoke. Let's say, for example, maybe you take one at 6. Now, instead of taking the smoke, that one, go and run. All right. Go and run or go and jog. So that means you have to do that on a repeated basis. Do that on a repeated basis. Now, you see, over time, you are comfortable only taking 9 cigarettes. So, and then you have started the behavior, the other one of running. And that behavior, you can see that it's bringing some difference in your life. All right? So when you are comfortable with that, then I would ask you take 8. You know, at the time when you are supposed to take the 8th one, the 9th one, do something different. That is more constructive, that is more a good habit that is building you. So that's how slowly, and that takes, it might take 2 months before you even reduce to 2, it may take 1 month, it may make just, you know, repeated practice in a stable context, it will then be able to create, to wire your pathways, to wire new pathways in your mind. So that's how it works. All right? So now, I want you now to do, how do you seize that transition? All right? How do you seize that transition? How do you then stop that habit that actually hold you back, that make you stuck? So now, one thing that you need to do, let me give you 4 things that you need to do. One is actually reflect on alignment. When I'm talking about alignment, I'm talking about, does this habit move me towards what I want to be? Does it align? That's what I'm asking. So reflect on alignment. Does it align with what I want? So if the answer is no, then it is not worth it's if it's worth changing. So that's first off is the alignment. Is this what I want? So that's the first thing. If you want now to transition, is this is what I want? If the answer is no, then you know this is actually worth changing. All right. Well, if it's aligned with what you want, then, well, you don't need to change it because that's what exactly what you want. Now, then the next thing is about start small. All right. Remember, I gave you an example where you don't say stop smoking. Okay. Just stop smoking. No, you actually help the person to reduce slowly by slowly by slowly by slowly by slowly. And it could take long, you know, to do that. Don't rush. For you to get there, it took you time. So don't rush to get, you know, otherwise it won't work. Now, start small. Instead of quitting, okay? So right away, try something small that you can do on, you know, small and, you know, slowly on the side. Instead of that, as I said, instead of taking that, you do something else. You know, this small experiment lets you test the water. It does, you test the water without actually plugging into it. So slowly by slowly, all right? Now, the third thing I want you to do is then, remember I talked about anchor, you know, anchor. Now, whatever you do to existing routine, your mind always, you know, work with associating, you know, with associating with something. So if you want to build a new habit, let's say, for example, say morning journaling. Okay, maybe you need to journal something in the morning. All right, I'm just something. I'm thinking of someone who started that. So now pair that with something else, something you're already doing. Let's say, for example, like after your coffee, maybe in the morning after you have a coffee, then the coffee becomes the cue, becomes the signal to your brain that, well, time to write now. You see, that now that becomes actually a cue, a signal. So just pair that, okay, with something. That's the other times that I said where you have to stop, pair that with something that you do already because then it becomes the cue. Okay, and then I want you also to celebrate little wins that you're making. You know, trace the wins that you're making. Keep a simple. You can do that by keeping a simple tick sheet. You know, where you just tick off that. On nowadays, on your phone, you have that the app log. You know, every check mark is a little win that motivates you to keep going. So have that and tick it off. It whenever you've done something, you can see that there is a progress. Okay? So the only thing that actually distracts or that actually discourages us is when we don't see there is a progress. Every little progress. Celebrate that. Okay? So now, what I want you to do now, pick one habit. I want you to pick one habit you would like to shift. Okay? So what cue triggered it? What is the signal that triggered that? Think about it. What is the signal that trigger that? What is the cue that trigger that? So it could be environment, and therefore, if that's a habit that you need to shift, maybe it's the environment. Change the environment. So, or learn how to adapt differently to environment. So what reward do you get? Okay? I want you to think about that. What do you reward? What reward do you get? Then imagine one small tweak. One small tweak you could actually make starting tomorrow. One small tweak that you can make tomorrow. You can make it tomorrow morning, anytime tomorrow. Maybe switch on, you know, switch one coffee break to a minute of work. And I'm referring to someone who drink too much coffee, okay? So switch that one coffee break to a 5-minute walk, you see? Or replace that evening scroll that you do, the scroll that you do with like a page of reading, you know. You have a book instead of scrolling on your phone, just, you know, go endless, needlessly, you know, just scrolling. And so one page of reading, you know, get a book, one page of reading, just a one page, you know, or two or three pages, you know. So, and notice how it feels, and remember, Remember, consistency over perfection. So it's consistency. This, when we're talking about habit, it's consistency over perfection. So a build, that's what builds a lasting change. All right? So by treating habit as experiment rather than life and death decisions, so you give yourself permission to explore, to adapt, and to grow. All right? So, and before long, those small tweaks you are making can unlock entirely a new chapter in your life. Believe me. All right. So, what's our time? 29 past 12. Let's take another one, okay? Let's take another one. And this is now your perception. Not your perception, your perspective. All right? Our perspective is the lens, you know, when it's something that we look through. A lens through which we see the world. All right? So now, that's how we see the world. That's how we see ourselves. And over time, now think about this. Over time, this lens can get scratched. It can get scratched, get dirty. It can get scratched, can get cracked. And there are so many things that can make that scratched, that can make that cracked, that or stuck on a single setting, you know? So that limiting what we believe is possible. Do you understand? Now, that would limit what we believe is possible. You understand? Now, let me think. Think of James, okay? When he failed, when he was young, bombed a math exam in high school, really. So that single failure in a high school convinced him that he wasn't smart enough for further study. Yeah? That just convinced, becomes the belief that he wasn't good enough for further study. So 20 years later, he still actually avoids, let's say, for example, going to night classes or online courses, even though a new qualification could actually open doors in his career. So he still actually think what happened, you know, what he believed in the high school when he failed, when he really failed that math. So now see this, his outdated belief, now perspective, his outdated belief feels like now an unbreakable rule. It has become like an unbreakable rule. I can't learn new things. That's the underlying belief we were talking about last week. Okay? It has become a belief that actually limits him from even venturing into new stuff. So now I want you to think because there could be things that happened in the past that actually are the one that limiting you. Remember the short guy that I was talking about? we're talking in terms of trauma. You know, think of anything in a perspective, you know, that your perspective, your beliefs can actually limit you from trying new things, from learning new things, from, you know, moving because of the perspective that you hold, which may have been true and helpful at that moment when we're young, but it becomes a belief that now determines your choices that you make, even now. So there's a psychologist called by the name Carol Dweck. He calls this a fixed mindset, okay? He calls this a fixed mindset, the idea that abilities are carved in stone, so you can't change them. So, and he also then says versus a growth mindset, a fixed mindset versus the growth mindset. The growth mindset is which views intelligence and talent as qualities that you can develop. And you can develop that with effort and good strategies. It's not just something that, you know, develop you. When you can develop with effort something, you got to do something. Eh? Or with good strategies, you can develop that. Now, in a fixed mindset, You know, in a fixed mind, we fear challenges. Why? Because failure, like James that I'm talking about, feels like that was a verdict on his wealth. He felt that this was actually a verdict on his wealth, and therefore he wouldn't try. So worse, the more we avoid risk, okay, the more we avoid risk, the more we reinforce now those beliefs. The more we avoid that, we are making it more stronger. We actually reinforce that belief. And in the end, it creating a self-fulfilling prophecy. And you start as, you see, that's why I can't succeed because of that, you know. And because definitely when you decide that you can't, you're already telling every cell in your body not to do anything. And you end up actually failing. So, and then you see, and you kind of that's now how we said it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because, you know, you kind of like, yeah, it's true. Yes, I didn't succeed, but you didn't because you have actually told yourself you can't. And therefore, there's nothing within you that is actually trying. Are you following? You're also welcome to come through. You're also welcome to come through and contribute. Maybe I'm saying something that you don't agree, or maybe I'm saying something that you are experiencing and you just want to share something. So our telephone number is 08333-66091. So do come through and have your opinion, or have your react on what I'm saying, or have your contribution on what we're talking about. And remember, as I said, this is a mental health hour, you know, mental health hours from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock here on Eagle FM. And if there's any other things that has to do with your well-being, emotional well-being, psychological well-being, and even your physical well-being, so you must, and something that you maybe troubles you or trouble someone that you know and you want to talk about it, this is the platform we created for you to come through. And most of the time, we trying to help you go really into your mind. So that's why the program calls Mind Matters. So, yeah. Now, when we're talking about perspective, so, and how do we then shift? All right. How do we then actually shift our mindset? So from the things that we have been believing that actually limiting us and that have actually make us stuck to more something that is freeing ourselves, you know, freeing our mind and help us to be more creative, more adventurous, more, you know, someone who want to do. Now, the first thing that I want you to understand, first thing, spot the story. Notice what you're saying. What is you say? What are you saying? And I want you to notice a few things. I want you to notice, actually not a few things, that's one thing. Maybe, and notice when you say, for example, I can't. Or I'm just not that person. Okay? So what are you saying? When you say you can't, where does that come from? When you say you can't, where does it come from? Remember, I want you to spot that story. Okay? I can't. I'm just not that person. Whatever the case may be. If that involved that, you know? So then what I want you to do, I want you to challenge it with evidence. Ask yourself, when have I learned something new? And then maybe that was against the odds. Yeah, maybe it was against the odds. When have I learned something new against the odds? What you're trying to do is just to actually contradict the belief. And you can only do this when you're aware of it. It doesn't happen automatically. So you have to be aware of that. So if you're trying to contradict the belief that you have so for so long that actually limiting you. So with something now to say, now, that's what I want to know, challenge it with evidence. Have you ever learned something new, I guess, where you believe, no, I will not be able to do that, and you did it? Maybe you picked up cooking skills that you never knew that you could do that. Maybe you fix your own car. You never know. That's something that you know. You never know. You could be. You taught yourself a hobby. I don't know. So you think of anything. So those wins prove you can grow. I hope you're following me. Those wins proves that you can actually grow. The second thing that I want you to do is very simple. Use the word yet. I want you to use the word yet. Just the word yet. 10, I can't do this. 10 that I can't do this into I can't do this yet. I can't do this yet. So what that means, that tiny word opened the door of possibility and effort. Okay? It opened the doors of now of possibility. So I can't do this yet. So it opened up the door now. But maybe with so much effort, if I put in some effort and there's still a possibility, if I learn skills or whatever the case may be. So it gives you, it's opened up that possibility, that door of possibility. So use that word quite often, yet, not I can't, okay? When it comes to your ability, when it comes to, you know, we're talking about perspective that you may have hold, you know, for too long. Now, and the other things, you know, please surround yourself with growth-minded people, you know? Surround yourself with growth-minded people. Seek friends or mentors who celebrate efforts and progress. Surround yourself with people who really, you know, celebrate efforts and progress rather than just natural challenge, or those who just think, you know, who discourage you, who doesn't see those possibilities, who don't create, who don't see those efforts. So their encouragement rewires your lens. Remember, the perspective, your lens toward now learning and resilience. So that's very important, because it helps you to rewire your lens towards that. So, yeah, think of one area maybe. Now, what I want you to do is to think of one area you feel stuck. Okay, is there an area that you feel stuck? Maybe a skill you abandon, or a dream you put on the shelf, you know, to say, okay, that dream, wait for a moment. So what is the story you have been telling yourself? What is the story you have been telling? What evidence contradict that story? So this is what you have been telling yourself. I can't do this and whatever, blah, 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 blah. So, and then what evidence contradict that story? In your life, there must be certain things that you have done actually contradicting that story. So do it. So what then you do? Remember when I said use the word yet, and learn on someone who believes in your capacity to grow. So use that word yet. Okay, as we have said earlier, and also learn from who believes in your capacity to grow. So definitely over time, a fresh perspective can completely rewrite, you know, rewrite your possibilities. It is possible. So you just have to change the perspective. So a perspective could be something also that, something that hold us back, and especially to the pain of yesterday. So when we come back, so we're going to look at the, some of the other aspect, we can look at. So stay tuned. Let's have a musical break. We're going to take this time When You Kiss Me by Shania Twain.
Yeah. time. It just seems to fit. I think I'm in love. This love is mine. I can see you with me when I'm older. All my lonely nights are finally over. You took the weight of the world off my shoulders.
You kiss me, Shania Twain. All right, our time is about 47 minutes past the hour of 12, and this is Mind Better. If you're just joining us on Saturday morning, and we go until 12 o'clock, so thanks for joining us. And you are very late if you're just joining us and you missed out. So what you missed out, we're looking at, are you still hanging on? Are you still hold on to the past? Are you still holding on to the past, a pain, you know? So that's what we're looking at. And we specifically were looking at, the common, you know, common things that hold us on, that we keep hold on, that we keep holding on to, that we keep holding on to, that actually make us stuck, in the past pain, or actually make us stuck and not be able to move forward, either in our, in a way how we think, whether we talked about emotional pain, we talk about hurtful emotions, that's what we look at. We also look at traumatic events, and also but we're just looking at a perspective and what else we look at. So we look at all some of this. So now what I want us to look at quickly, because the time is also running out, is the fear of unknown. Fear of unknown is also something that actually can hold us. We can, that can, keep us stuck, you know, or we can hold on to, keep on holding on to and, keep us, stuck, you know, and not be able to move forward. So we all know that nervous feelings, you know, that nervous feeling we always feel when you're about to try something new, for example. So our stomach agitates, you know, you really feel, you know, the palms get sweat, you're really getting sweating, and your mind races with what if, you know, and something that we talked earlier on also. And that is the classic fear of unknown. That's normally the classic of fear unknowns. And it's also called the intolerance of uncertainty. Okay, the intolerance of uncertainty, when it comes through mind, it manifests in your mind, manifests in your physically to you, and when not knowing what is coming, it feels downright unbearable. You know, it really feels unbearable, and our mind are not made with that way. So our brain evolved to spot threat. All right, we are actually, you know, we evolved to spot threat. That is coming from, it's the same alarm bell, you know, the alarm bell, you know, the alarm bell that kept our ancestor really safe. You know, it's because of that alarm bell that kept our ancestor safe from the predators, you know, from the lions and the elephants and all the, you know, jungle stuff, you know, and that kicks in. It kicks in when we face unpredictable situation today. So the same alarm bell, you know, want to use the same instinct, if you like, the same alarm bell that kept our ancestors safe. When it kicks in, it kicks in when we face unpredictable situation today. So whether it is a new job, a big move, maybe you want to make a move, or just a big move in something, even just moving to another place. So you, because of unknown where you go, you may not want to go, you know, ending a toxic relationship could be also ending a toxic relationship. You stay stuck in that because of fear of unknown. So, and the neuroscience shows that and this is the word I don't really like to use on program, like the amygdala, you know, I don't like using words. I don't know which words I can use. The amygdala you have in your brain. Yeah, I can use this. Your brain fear center. Okay. Your center for fear. It's light up. Okay. It's light up when it's under uncertainty. It's light up. Kind of like in your brain, it's light up, and often before our conscious mind even registers the risk. So now I want you to think about it. So we have this. Let's take Mike, okay, who have been in a draining relationship for years. The thought of breaking up terrifies him, not because he doesn't love the partner, for example. He doesn't love his partners. But because, you know, he fears maybe being alone, and not knowing how to support. Let's say, for example, maybe he has been in maybe afraid of not how to support himself or afterwards or something like that. And we're not talking necessarily in terms of materials. And, yeah. So he stays. Okay. So he stays. So, yeah, and maybe let's also, maybe the female side would be more much make more much sense. So where, you know, she would be in this draining, let's say, for example, a woman who should be in a draining, you know, relationship for years. OK, Okay. But I said a woman might could be also in the same, you know. Now, the thought of breaking up, could terrify her. All right. And as I said earlier, for the man as well, it's not because she doesn't love her partner. It's not because, she loves the partner, but because she fears being alone and not knowing how to, you know, what did I say? How to, you know, maybe to support herself afterwards. Okay. Now, so she stays. She stays. Now, anchored by uncertainty, even when every day feels heavier, you know, than the last time, when every time now have been, it feels more worse than the last time. So she stays. Now, remember I talked about avoidance last time, earlier on in the programs. Avoidance, and why do we avoid hurts? Maybe let me ask this. The avoidance, avoiding what scares us, it normally offer a quick relief, you know? At that point in time, it offered that quick relief, but it also, as I said earlier on, it's also strengthening the fear. Eh? It's also strengthening the fear. And study shows that anticipatory fear confound decision-making problems and anxiety and even panic attacks. So over time, avoiding uncertainty can actually shrink our world, blocking our growth and opportunity. So because you're going nowhere. So how do we then actually break free from this? How do we break free from that? First of all, what I want you to do is to acknowledge the fear. So we have to acknowledge the fear. That's how we break through. We break free from this. Acknowledge the fear. Name it. I'm feeling anxious because I'm feeling anxious about leaving this job, for example. Okay? So remember what I said earlier on. By doing that, you're actually relaxing your mind. The intensity that it brings, because, you know, when you fear, your body's on alert. Okay? We're talking about fight and flight response, you know? So your body's on alert and it's looking, and you actually put your body on alert to look for solutions in terms of fighting or running away. All right? So when you acknowledge the fear, you actually make your brain to kind of, okay, so you know. Eh? So when you say, I'm feeling anxious about leaving the job, it reduces that intensity. So simply noticing the fear reduces its intensity. And then the very most important things now, second things that you can do, focus on what you can control. And this is a problem that we make as individual. Focus on what you can control. You can't predict every twist. You can never predict every twist. But you can update your, for example, as I said, you are anxious about leaving this job, but what can you do? You can update your resume. That's something that you can research, maybe new roles. If the new role that you're looking, research what the new role requires. Or set a moving date, you know, be able now to set a moving date and in the meantime be able to do all those things. So, small action. And those small action actually build confidence. Okay? Focus on what you can control. And that also reduces, it's not only build the confidence, but it also reduces stress. So because you do things that within your power. And don't think much of things that you cannot control. And the other thing is also, something I said also earlier on, take baby steps into unknown. Okay? Take those baby steps into unknown. That's only way. So rather than just, you know, quitting, maybe try, you know, try being, as I said, you know, being a little bit curious about, you know, and then take those each small step actually, or each small win, okay? Every each small win rewires your brain, Okay? It rewires your brain response to uncertainty. So you can see now that actually I can do this. It rewires, you know, the brain. That's very important to do. And then now, when the anxiety, maybe if you have, you know, anxiety, you started to feel the waves. So whatever you start to feel, write it, you know, notice its peaks and, you know, and subside when it's on its peak, when it's on its, you know, on its lows, you know, practice edge surfing, you know, if you like, without acting on worst case thought. Don't go too exaggerating or something like that, because over time you will see the wave passes without really capsizing you. So you can see that. So, and the next time you feel paralyzed by what if, you know, what if this happened and what, pause and ask yourself, all right? Pause and ask yourself, what is one tiny step? What is one tiny step I can take right now? What is that? Just a little one tiny step that I can take around. Remember, every journey into the unknown begins with a single brave foot forward. It begins with that. So if you don't take that, you're not going to go anywhere. So what is one tiny step that I can take right now? Think of anything that you are actually paralyzed about with what if and all that. Okay? Pause and ask yourself, what is that one tiny step I can take right now? And as I said, every journey into the unknown begins with that single brave, you know, step you can take forward. All right? So, we get already to 1 o'clock. It's already 1 o'clock. All right. So the other part that I actually have left, we're going to cover that the next times. Remember to tune in again and really get into those aspects as well that we actually left untouched today. So we're going to still do that. And it's a pleasure actually being in your company today. And I hope that you have been following and that you pick up one thing or two that you can actually bring in your life, or maybe a different way looking at things that would actually improve you moving forward, or making the choices that improve your the way you look at things, the way how you feel, and the way you make choices in your life from now on. So, well, stay tuned. What it normally come is Elizabeth Wold. I hope she's around. So it's coming up, and stay tuned and for the rest of the programs that are coming your way after that as well. So, all right, let me leave you with Phil Collins, Every Day. And from me, until next week, until Monday, enjoy your weekend. And all the best for you.
Ni siquiera estás ahí. Taking flights has never been easier. Piratus is introducing SkyFi internet packages with speeds that will have you reaching for your seatbelt. Starting from $500, excluding VAT, per month, with speeds reaching up to 10 megabits per second. There's even a prepaid option where you can top up your SkyFi internet for just $15 per gigabyte. No contracts, no fuss. Visit your nearest Piratus branch to find out more. Or go to piratus.africa/Namibia to sign up online. Always prepare.
When connectivity and uptime are everything, only Namibia's most advanced data center will do. The Armada Data Center is a Tier 3 by design, certified PCI DSS registered operation, designed to be the most connected and reliable center in the entire country to host your business. Robust security, diverse connections, and true AB power ensures unrivaled infrastructure, while our business continuity facilities offer a co-location experience like no other. Visit armada.piratus.africa to find out more.
Always prepare. It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia, on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.